weird.
It's just a TV or something.
I hope I left my letter on
there. Number 13 has.
Yeah, because if I did, I don't know where it's at.
It's like a TV set here.
Fair enough.
You get more of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Guy's a musician or a magician? We'll just call him Zishan. Okay. Well, good evening. How we all doing? Everybody's all psyched up for Mother's Day. What's that? We are one in the spirit. Oh, I couldn't see the bottom part. Okay. Don't hide the flag. Okay, we're going to be looking together tonight, Lord willing here. still got a green light. 1 Corinthians? That's a new study, isn't it? How about we try 1 Thessalonians? Mine's going two different directions here. There we go. How about 1 Thessalonians? Talk slow. 5, 12 to 15. Okay. Excuse me. That was not a COVID cough. That was just regular old. Yeah, I think I'm dealing with some of that. Without sniffing the lilacs, you know. Get your head full of that. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word. I pray that as we look at this lesson here tonight, that we'd be able to make some application to our own hearts and lives and getting along with everyone. That's something we all need to learn how to do. And that will help us in church, at home, at work, or wherever. And so we just pray that you'd help us to be able to implement these truths into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're not going to get everything that you might want to know about this in this lesson. They have books written on this, how to get along with difficult people or whatever, different books like that. And so he's just looking at a couple of verses here out of 1 Thessalonians 5 that will give us some indication as to what's going on in this particular church, okay? And again, he knew the issues, he knew the strengths, he knew the weaknesses, the potential problems. And so as he addresses this, getting along with everyone, he touches on a couple of things, but those were no doubt not just something he kind of pulled out of the air, but there was a reason that he was addressing these particular issues. And so we'll kind of take note of that because it may not scratch you quite where you itch. You're saying, well, that's not our problem. Well, okay. But then we have to go on and write 1 Thessalonians 6. Do we want to do that? No. We don't want to start writing our own scriptures. Extra biblical. All right. So he says, people problems cause a lot of discouragement in our lives, okay? And wherever there are people, there are likely to be disagreements. You find that to be true? I don't know where you go to get away from this. Now, I watch a couple of these programs that are, guys are out in the wilderness in Alaska somewhere, you know, and they have to have planes fly in and drop stuff to them because there's no roads or anything. And now maybe if you got out there and you're not around anybody, you might, but I don't know, does loneliness offset people problems? You know, maybe they're willing to handle a few people problems just to offset the loneliness. But anyway, yeah, wherever there's going to be people, we're not all going to agree on everything. Have you ever met anybody that you agreed with on everything? Anybody? Any heads? You just, you know, just two peas in a pod, you know, twins that always think alike and yeah, probably not. Okay, so that being the case, we do have our differences. Doesn't mean it's wrong, but hey, we're from different backgrounds. We grew up in different places, different set of parents, different values, different rules of the house. You know, some of you may have had a lenient parent. Other ones had a, you know, Marine sergeant for a for a parent. Or whatever. And so, you know, we look at things differently. And, you know, you find that out, especially when you're sometimes people get introduced to that sort of thing when you're either roommates at college or you're in the military and you're got roommates that come from different parts of the country, different ways of thinking, or you get married and, you know, after you're just, you get to living here and dealing with everyday questions, you know, we got past the wedding and the honeymoon and all the rest of that stuff. And now we're dealing with day-to-day issues and we don't always agree on how we ought to handle them. And, but there is a way to deal with it, but we have to be, have to work at it. And so he says, New Testament tells us that we need to do our best to get along with one another. In fact, the Bible tells us, tells the disciples that they were to love one another. And that's how people could tell that they were Christ followers, because of their love for one another. It was observable by other people as they looked at them. And so as we try to implement that into our lives, he gives us a few principles here on how to get along, okay? And I feel a little bit odd talking about this first one, but we're going to do it anyway, okay? Because I'm not looking for anything in particular from you, but like I said, this apparently was an issue in that church, and so Paul's addressing it. And so he says here, there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13, he says, we beseech you. What's another word for beseech? Beg of you, okay? He's serious about this. And this isn't the first thing he's begged of them, okay? He says, I beseech you, brethren, talking about fellow believers here, you know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Okay, so he's talking about those who are over you in the Lord. He's talking about spiritual leaders here, is that first note. He says to appreciate the spiritual leaders. Now, if he's telling them that, what's the likelihood of the spiritual leaders having been appreciated up to this point? maybe not so much. You usually don't tell somebody to do something that they're already doing, okay? So it's kind of like, well, they really weren't appreciating them. Maybe we don't know exactly what they were doing to them, but he says, okay, from now on, start appreciating your spiritual leaders. And he says they're over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. And we'll look at that here in a little bit here. But he says to know them. Okay, not just simply know about them, but try to get to know them. And he says here that can also be understood as to perceive value, to see some value in these guys or gals, as the case might be. But they're over you in the Lord. They're decision makers. If you study the church, you know, it talks about sometimes people get a little bit confused about, well, there's pastors and there's elders and presbyters or overseers and shepherds. And, you know, it isn't a half a dozen different people we're talking about here. It's primarily that of pastors, and they wear some different hats. And often they were the elders. They were the more spiritually mature ones of the group. And they were the shepherds. They were trying to provide some direction for the flock, for the sheep. And so he says, show some appreciation to them that are over you. And then he begins to talk about, and then he gets to meddling here. As he brings in 1 Timothy 5:17. One of those ways that you can show appreciation is through financial support. Again, Paul tried his best not to be a burden to other people. What did he do on the side? Tent making, okay? And back then there was a need for tents. And so, and that was something wherever he went, he could make tents and make a few bucks. And that way he wasn't being a burden to the people. He's coming in trying to get a church started. You know, okay, they take an offering and $5 come in. Well, okay, but it costs more than $5 for the week to live. So we're going to do tent making to supplement this. Okay, but not everybody's a tent maker. And so he says, try to support them well financially once the thing kind of gets up and going. And that's why oftentimes when you get a new church getting started, doesn't always work that way, but like when, well, there are a couple people involved in getting this church up and going. But for the most part, we had missionaries. They were supported by others. Okay, so they weren't a financial drain on the church. They could put some money away so that they could eventually buy the property, put up a building, and that sort of thing. But here he says, what does Philippians 2:29 say about the person who serves the Lord? He says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. And so he says, receive them, be glad, be thankful for these guys. And then he uses this word reputation, means to, you know, we talk about we want to have a good reputation. We want to have a good testimony. And he's saying here that it also has the idea of honor. Those that work hard, you give them some honor. And I mean, it works that way in the private workplace. You know, sometimes it's titles, sometimes it's wages, different ways of honoring people, and so we see here that they're working hard at. They're preaching the word. They're teaching doctrine. And now here in 1 Timothy 5:17, refer to that? 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of a double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means that they ought to be paid twice as much as everybody else, but they ought to receive honor, gratitude, and as he mentions here, appreciation. Sometimes it's just expressing words of gratitude. Thankfulness. You know, we thank other people. sometimes it's, in talking with people, it's, I don't know, the language maybe that they use seems a little bit odd sometimes. And maybe that's just me. Everybody's got their own little hang-ups. And somebody does something for you, maybe it's a waitress or whatever, and you say, oh, well, thanks. And what's their response? Oh, that'd be great. I'd take your welcome. No problem. No problem. Well, I didn't expect it to be a problem. You know, this is your job. You know, I'm just thanking you for doing a good job of it. But, you know, and sometimes that's what you get through the drive-thru, too, you know. Oh, no problem. And but anyway, he points out, okay, so he says, this is the fellow who writing this study. Say he'd been a pastor for 45 years. Being a pastor can be a discouraging job. our culture continues a rapid moral decline, ever-increasing hostility to biblical teaching. Being a pastor gets more discouraging. Okay, let's reverse roles here for a minute. What could you see that could be discouraging about being a pastor? Personalities. How is church any different than your workplace? Okay, we see that. This is kind of what I mentioned on Sunday. Sometimes I struggle with that with Christians because I know they know better, you know, and they're not doing it. And so it's like, okay, you can kind of excuse the unbeliever for maybe the way that they're acting because maybe they really don't know any better. But the Christian, for the most part, does. Your personalities, right? At work, though, well, you mentioned it. You go in to work and it's, okay, what job are they going to put me on here? You know, are they going to put me on the hardest job or the easiest job? And, you know, then too, it's like, well, I guess that can happen in a church too. I guess you could get fired. But, you know, they have authority over you that they don't have in a church. I mean, face it, we're all volunteers. Well, you guys are. Volunteers here. You can't make somebody do something. You can't say, Bob, you do that or I'm going to fire you. And he says, please, please, go ahead. I always wanted to be fired from the pastor. There was one church in the state that this guy should have never been pastor. He wasn't pastoral material. He hadn't trained to be one. They were hard up. He volunteered to be their pastor. And then he had to work with some deacons and other people and he wasn't getting along with them, so he decided he's going to fire all of them. Well, it doesn't work that way. They're elected by the people of the church. You can't fire these folks. They're not, for one, they're not hired, you know. But, yeah, so, okay, so it's you got to work with people maybe a little bit more because, you know, does anybody have to do what I tell them to do? Do it or else. Now, there might be some places, preachers, that operate that way. You do it my way or hit the road, you know. I don't operate that way. But, yeah, so there's some challenges along the way. I've thought about some illustrations to share with you, but I think maybe it would be better if I didn't. So we'll just keep going. But, you know, it's We probably all do better at what we're doing if you get an encouraging word. You ladies, you're cooking. You kind of like to hear once in a while, boy, that was good, you know? And don't get after them. Well, you didn't eat much. Well, I had three helpings. How many? It's a joke with Maureen, and this is way back in her family, but her mom had made cherry pies, and somebody came in, a visitor, well, a guest, you know. Well, are they all cherry? You know, apparently she was hoping for something other than cherry, but no, that's what we're serving tonight. Yes. So we have responsibilities, but it's just like at work, you know. They aren't going to tell you this every day. You know, good job, Bob. I'm picking on Bob because he's up front. And he says we are one, so we got to work with him. Good job, Bob, you know. And, you know, just to hear that, you think, wow, that's pretty good, you know. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to get any more money in your check at the end of the week or anything else. It's just, hey, somebody appreciates what I'm doing. You know, and I'd look back at different supervisors or whatever I had through the years, and I know I've shared that with you. Some of my experience when I was at John Deere, but this guy come out of the office, you know, and you could just tell the way he's walking, you know, and his neck's already red and bulging, you're in trouble, you know. But I don't remember the guy ever saying anything good. It's the only time he ever had, he just come out and yell at you, you know, and then he'd go back in his office for a while. And anyway, but yeah, so it's just learning to appreciate one another for who they are. And they talk about different politicians. Oh, wow. I guess we're going to have more of this lesson next week. But, you know, different people, you know, they are the CEOs. They are top of the pile. And yet they talk about the different presidents that have been in the White House. You know, some of them just walk around and don't, you know, you're pond scum. I don't like your Secret Service people. I don't like any of these people. They're just here to serve me. Where the other guys gets to know them. You know, how's your family? How's your kids? You know, and they take a personal interest in them. Well, that's going to go a long way, you know, when you have to maybe do a little extra work for this person that, hey, they appreciate what I'm doing. They know my name. And you can read stories about that, you know. And I don't want to start giving illustrations of that one, but just get to know the people that are cleaning the office. Do you thank them? You know, some of them you may not ever even see them. They do it when you're not there. But appreciate the little people on the way up. I remember we had a young guy work. I worked part-time at Hardee's through the summer. I had another job at UPS at that time going to school. But I was a bit older than he was, and he just out of school, graduated from college, you know, and he was learning to be a supervisor at Hardee's. I'm sure his mom and dad were proud, but, you know, and he'd go around bossing everybody, you know, like he was really a big shot. And I said to him once, I said, you know, Randy, you ought to be nice to some of these people on the way up, because you might need some of their friendship when you're on the way down. Well, you know, he could never see everything like that happen. It was just, well, it did, you know. And when he become the guy back there flipping burgers or whatever with everybody else, you know, because things didn't work out quite right for him. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not, but we need to appreciate those people around us. Doesn't matter if they're above us or below us, but learning to get along with people. Well, here it was just appreciating. Here it's spiritual leaders. You know, I'm not looking for a pat on the back, but, you know, face it, I'm not going to be here forever. And if you end up in a different church somewhere, appreciate those folks. You know, most of the time you don't have a clue what they go through the other 6 days of the week that you don't see them. But he says one of the things that they do is that they have to admonish. What's another word, a thought for admonish? As a parent and you admonish your children, what are you doing? Chris?
Depends if it was my daddy, usually a belt would accompany it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, they can't do that now. But for those listening, it was a belt accompanied the conversation. But, okay, usually you're not thinking admonishment is something that's all necessarily good. Maybe chewed on is not the right word, but you're trying to warn them, you're trying to correct them, you know, guide them in the right direction, you know. And sometimes we get a bad thought about discipline. We always think it's negative. Well, discipline can be a good thing too, but here's admonish. Well, if you're admonishing somebody, does everybody take it well? Does everybody appreciate it well at the time? Now, maybe later, you know, 20/20 hindsight, and you get thinking about it, you know, it's probably a good thing they said something, you know? And, but here he's admonishing, giving them some spiritual instruction. Here he's looking for changed lives. You know, here's an area of your life maybe you need to consider making some changes. And again, it doesn't always go over well. And it's not always fun to be the one to be admonishing somebody either. You know, I don't particularly like it when somebody does it to me, you know, even though there may be some good that comes out of it. So I'm not real anxious to be saying that towards somebody else. But at the same time, that's part of the job. You can't just let everybody go off and do their own thing, and because it does reflect on Christ, it does reflect on the church, and so on. And so it's like, you know, behave. It's kind of what we're talking about Sunday. You call yourself a Christian, then behave like one, okay? And if you're not behaving like one and somebody comes up and says something to you, you know, it's not time to, you know, turn into the volcano. It's, okay, absorb this. You know, is there some truth to it? What in my life maybe needs to be changed? And again, we're teaching sound doctrine. We're sticking to the Word of God. It's not just our opinion on things. It's, you know, this is what the Bible says. This is what we need to do. And you have a right to expect me, as it says here, to be knowledgeable, to be well prepared, and to be using the words, not just my opinion. Think of opinions, folks. They're like noses. Everybody's got one, okay? But doesn't necessarily mean your opinion is any better than mine or mine's better than yours, okay? Some people got the idea that I guess I've said everything before, so I should quit saying. I know I've told you before, but I used to have this fellow that would tell me, I feel really strongly about that. Well, okay, that was the signal to me that this is the way I want it, and you better go along with it, you know, regardless. Well, the thing is, I have to think a little bit broader. It's not just, well, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's all do it. No, I have to think about, is this the best thing for the church? You may want this. You may like to want to do this, but is that the best thing for the church? You know, I've had somebody through the years tell me, your church is never going to go anywhere until you start playing contemporary Christian music. You know, so we're not using it much anyway. Get rid of the organ and put in a set of drums with them. You got to have the plexiglass around it, either that or and I'm not against drums, but it tends to go that way, you know, and you give people earplugs when they come in, and no, really, I mean, it happens, you know, and somebody told me, you know, that wouldn't be our platform, but he says, if I ever see smoke coming across the stage one more time, I'm out of here. Well, it probably wouldn't have taken me that long to figure that out, but, you know, why are we here? Is it just to be entertained? You know, because after a while, you got to keep topping the last performance to keep everybody interested. And that's why some people go from church to church to church. You know, the entertainment value kind of winds down, and so they got somewhere else, go somewhere else that they're entertained. But he says here we have the pastor's responsibility there out of Titus 2:15 is to preach. Okay, we're usually okay along with that, as long as he didn't preach too long. To teach, okay, that's a good thing too. To exhort, okay, we're going to encourage people. Uh-oh. And then to rebuke. You know? But that's part of it, isn't it? I mean, as a parent, are you all positive all the time? No, sometimes you got to say, no, that's not going to happen. Okay? Or to warn people. Well, I don't want to be warned. But, you know, sometimes when you do this, then, as he says here, you end up with a target on your back. You know, you hit a nerve when you told me that. And so I'm gonna get back at you. But here he says, Paul said, to esteem the very highly in the love of their work, for their work's sake. Spiritual leaders. I'm not looking... Sometimes we can use a word and it gets twisted around a little bit. We're not looking at talking about self-esteem, building up your ego, okay? But how, okay, it says to esteem them very highly, to have a high opinion of them, okay? And this is going in another direction here, but let me just throw it in here. But how many kids through the years have got kind of turned off to church and to Christianity because all they heard was the preacher kind of getting cooked or run over the coals or picked apart all the way home from church? And then we wonder why we didn't want to go. Why do we want to go back there? If he's that bad, why do we keep going there every week, you know? And not to say if there isn't problems, you can't discuss it, but you know, after a while, the kids pick this up and they think, wow, what are we going to this place for? And mom and dad really doesn't sound like they like it. Why do they keep going? As soon as I get a chance to get out of there, I'm going to quit going. And that's what happens to some of them. And I've seen that, you know, the parents, you know, and everybody deals with their own kids another different way. But the one I'm thinking of, as I was growing up, because we kind of sat behind them, is it was mom and dad and the kids. Now, boy, those kids, they better not move. They started wiggling or if they started whispering, you know, it was that arm came around and whack on the ear, you know, or something. And, you know, it was torture for them just to be there. And as soon as at least one of them, they got old enough to get out of the house, never darkened the door of church again, as far as I know, you know. And, you know, but boy, they were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They were there every time the doors open. But, you know, they made it pretty miserable for the kids. And so this is part of, this is drifting away from giving some appreciation for spiritual leaders, but it's how we treat everybody. You know, sometimes we can treat the preacher royal and be horrible to our own families. You know, you hear about sometimes it's, you know, child abuse or husbands beating up on their wives and stuff. And you think, wow, I never thought that would happen. But it does. I know of an instance, and I'm so far away from that I can say it. But this guy grew up in a Christian home. You know, she grew up in a Christian home. Everybody thought, oh, this marriage is made in heaven. And he had some issues. Things weren't turning out quite the way he thought. And he'd get mad at her and he'd be smacking her. But he, you know, he'd hit her in the arms and stuff where nobody else could see the bruises, you know. But then mom and dad finally found out and we had a little set down talk, you know. And I think things got a little better as time went on. But it was kind of a rough go, you know. And go for days without even speaking to one another, you know, because he was mad about something. You know, I'm going to punish you. Well, again, that's just so the different personalities you have to deal with. You may not be, if nothing else, you can be thankful that you're not married to that one, okay? You just have to deal with them for a couple of hours at church or at work, or, you know, they're a relative, but they come and they leave. You know, it's one of those, you're thankful when they come and thankful when they leave. They joke about that with grandkids, but appreciating other people around about us. Well, we better quit here. We'll have two to look at here next time. Initiate the peace, okay? Be a, and we'll talk about that. Blessed are the peacemakers. You can, if you find this next, blessed are the troublemakers. If you find that verse, let me know. Well, I haven't seen that one in there. But there is the peacemaker. So it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's always going to be fun. But Lord says, hey, that's something we need to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just kind of scratching the surface here today. But we are going to spend eternity with one another. And this is kind of like a proving ground. We got to learn to get along with one another now. We will get along with one another when we get to heaven. You're going to change our hearts and minds, and we're going to be lovable then. But a bit of testing here now. And so we pray that you'd give us that desire with our hearts to get along. Again, that's not our first response at times. Somebody pokes me, I'm going to poke them back. But that's not what you want us to do. And so we just pray you'd help us, that your Holy Spirit would be there speaking to us and helping us to respond in the right way. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks for listening.